We say first a prayer to ask the Holy Spirit come down upon us and to fill our hearts with His divine love, the fire of His divine love, to be able today to listen to the word of our Lord and to be ready to embrace the will of God. Whatever the will is, we ask for this grace, to be ready to embrace it, to love it, and to come to know more the love of Christ, which surpasses everything, every thinkable good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people,
and the kingdom in the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.
Immaculate Spouse of the Holy Spirit,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So welcome to this day of retreat and recollection in the Advent season. Yes? Let us now speak about the mystery of silence. I would like to concentrate myself on this topic, which is beautiful and also I think vital for our spiritual life, to appreciate more the beauty of silence in our spiritual life. It is quite challenging nowadays to be silent and to keep this virtue, which is silence. Everything is noise, starting from our mobile phone, Facebook, internet, the television, radio, everything is about sounds, words. And now, you know, nowadays, since we are so updated on anything you might think of, sounds, words, noises are surrounding us everywhere. It's quite challenging to find a time not to listen to anything, in order to be able to listen only to the most important thing, which is God's word. And the first condition in order to be able to listen to God is not to be listening to anything which is distracting us from this attention of our heart and mind. So the main point is, in order to understand the importance of silence, we have to know that God speaks only in silence. God does not love noise. God is not present where noise is strong, where there is a beautiful book, which is this one, written by Cardinal Sarah, The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. Actually, our society is led, is governed by this dictatorship. There is an invisible master running everything, and this invisible master, invisible politician, driving all the courses, all the events of this world, this invisible master is especially noise. Yes? Noise everywhere. Because, you know, noise is the best ally of the devil, to let us be completely distracted, to be engaged with many things, but in the end, what is truly important for us? And it is truly important to find God's presence, God's word. And of course, if we are always completely immersed in a world of noise and sounds and words, we are not able to focus ourselves on the most important thing, God. So I said God does not like noise. You might remember the experience of Elijah on the mountain of God, how Elijah encountered God's presence. There were many signs which could speak about God's presence up on the mountain. There was a big storm, but the text says God was not in that storm. There was a very strong wind, but God was not in that wind. Then a very gentle breeze came, and Elijah understood that God was not in the storm, was not in a strong wind. God was present in that gentle breeze. God was speaking to him. And I said the topic of this retreat is the concealment of God's eternal word in Our Lady's womb. We might wonder why our God, the Almighty One, yes, who can do anything he wants, is so humble, so silent. He chose to be nothing in Our Lady's womb, to hide himself in the womb of a woman and to be there as any other child, to be formed by Our Lady's maternal care. We might wonder why our God, who is so majestic, does not change the events of the world by his power. Why is not able to? We want a God powerful, yes, like a leader of a military army, to come down and destroy everything and to make this world again. Why does not do that? Is he not powerful enough? So, you know, many atheists say, yes, this is the sign God is not powerful. Oh, if he was powerful and he's not doing anything, he's negligent. So he does not care about mankind. We do not need such a God. Better if we change the world with our own strength, our human strength. God is not able to do anything. If he does exist, he is far, far away, engaged in his heavenly realm, far from daily efforts, daily problems. And another argument to deny God's presence is the fact that if God was truly existing, he would care especially for the suffering of innocent people. Why innocent people have to suffer and God does not do anything? We don't need such a God, they say. Better to be atheist, to be without any religion. But at the same time, they want to do something to change the world. And they think, most of the times, that in order to change the world, we have to be powerful. We have to use our strength. We have to be vocal, especially, yes, in parliaments, in squares, everywhere. We have to make our voice heard. Otherwise, we do not change anything. We have to cry out. But you see, God does not do anything of this. Why? Why he's powerful? We believe that he's powerful. Yes, he's the creator of everything. But he does not do anything in this way. Why? This is the mystery we have to discover throughout this day, hopefully, this day of retreat. Why does God prefer to be silent? I would say now, and then we go through the topic to explore more. God is silent because silence is the real strength. Silence is the real power. Why do I say that? Because silence is not what we think. Silence is not the absence of something. It's not a lack of something. Why we have to have in our house always something on? Television, radio, information, always some noise going on. Otherwise we are lost. What's happening now? We have to listen to something, especially now young people, you see, always with the mobile phone. Always, 24 hours a day. They have to chat, they have to look for their messages, they have to be in contact with something. If you take away the mobile phone from them, they are lost. What's happening now? The world is stopping. They think, or maybe we think too, that silence is a lack of something. Silence is the lack of life. If there is silence, there is no life. And then the world is now ending. So we have to do something, to be engaged with something, in order to fill this kind of emptiness. But we have to know, starting with Christ, that silence is not the lack of something. Silence is the true presence of the mystery of God. Silence is a presence, the presence of God, who fills himself, fills all reality with his presence. Just to have an idea of silence as a presence of the mystery, we might think of maybe a great discovery, scientific discovery. How, generally speaking, a scientific discovery is ever possible? Because there is a human mind thinking carefully about something, but trying to look into that issue carefully, and there is a condition needed to understand how, for example, the gravitational law works. How can you understand it? By keeping always agitated and having TV, television, radio always on? No. A true scientist can understand how the gravitational law works only if that person carefully investigates the phenomenon by keeping himself in a great silence before by observing this phenomena. Yes, he has to be very quiet, very attentive. Yes? If you want to understand something, don't you have to be very careful, to be concentrated on that thing? Do you need silence to understand something, or do you need noise? So the greatest scientific discoveries have come out because of a great mind thinking carefully in a complete silence that issue. And then, because you observe, you carefully investigate that phenomenon, today, tomorrow, by persevering, of course. In your investigation, you come to formulate a law. When there is a repetition of motions of that phenomenon, repeating itself always in the same way, you can say, yes, that is something important. This is a law regulating that issue. Yes? You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But this is in a very big scale. But even in your daily life, if you want to be concentrated on something, you have to do something in your housework, and you want to do everything perfectly, don't you need concentration? Don't you need silence? So is that silence something impeding you to do something, or is it silence something, a condition to do what you have to? So this is a first attempt to describe silence as a perfection, not an imperfection. Yes? Silence is a presence, not the absence of life. Silence is the condition to understand something great. If you do not have silence, you cannot understand anything and be concentrated on what you do. Since God is the maker of all things out of nothing, God does not need anything to create things. He needs what? To say something, and the thing is. You remember the account of creation? There was nothing, but God said, be light, and the light was. Yes? This is one word, be light. And the light was. We have something beautiful in the gospel. When Jesus wants to make a miracle, what he does? The person is begging Jesus for the miracle. Is Jesus doing many things? He simply says, I want you to be healed. Be healed. Yes? Another time Jesus is also making, in order to heal the blind person, Jesus is making something materially speaking, the saliva, in order to have that person gain back his sight. But this is also in prefiguration of the sacraments of the Church. Yes? But basically, ordinarily speaking, Jesus does not make many things. Jesus just says, he says, I want you to be healed. Be healed. You see, the world, we come to the topic, the world, which is Christ, the world, the second person of the Holy Trinity, does not need to say many things. He is the Word. He is the Word. Why Jesus did not write the Gospel? We know that Jesus is not the author of the Gospel. Isn't it? Yes? Who wrote the Gospel? The four evangelists. But why did Jesus not write anything?
He delivers the word.
He is the word. He does not need to say anything else. He is the word. Yes? There is a beautiful expression of Saint John of the Cross, a great Carmelite mystic, who says, God, since eternity, spoke only one word. Only one word. This one word is who? The Son. That's why when God is making all things out of nothing, He's just pronouncing one word, be light, so to say. And He's separating the water from the land, but without saying many things. He's just giving a command. He does not need to add many words. We normally, in order to say something, we have to use a lot of words. Yes? Now I'm using a lot of words to say something. Why? Because I'm imperfect. We are imperfect. We are able to understand something only if we try to investigate something. But and we have also to describe something, to add words and words. But this is, of course, not the perfection. Yes? The perfection is to understand something immediately. So the more we come to perfection, the more we use less words. That's a very good thermometer for your spiritual life. The more you speak, the less you are perfect. Yes? Yes, that's the case. The more we need to speak, the more we listen to God. So you see, that's why the monks and those trying to be closer to God, they need to be silent. Because if you keep yourself busy with many words, with chatting with people, you are not able to understand the only word necessary, which is Christ. We need only one word to understand. Yes? And then in that word, we understand everything else. This one word is the Logos, Christ. So, I hope this point is clear enough. Silence is not an imperfection, as we normally think of. Silence is a great perfection. Because silence is not the absence of something. Silence is the presence of something greater. Silence is the presence of the mystery. When I say mystery, I do not refer myself immediately to God. There is a natural mystery too. I spoke about a scientific discovery, yes? And all great scientific discoveries are the observation of the nature, the way of the nature itself is working. The more we contemplate the nature by fixing our attention on it, being carefully investigating that reality, the more we understand how the nature works. But this way to be carefully attentive and silent, this is a way to naturally scrutinize a mystery which is in the nature. Yes? Let us think of the mystery of life, the beginning of a new life in a mother's womb. Is this not a mystery? How is it ever possible that a very little beginning of life, almost invisible, at the very beginning of conception, is myself now speaking, yourself listening? Is this not a mystery? So you see that small cell, they say it is nothing, only a little bit of material. No. That small, almost invisible cell at the beginning of conception is a person, has the dignity of a person, because that small little cell can become, if respected and helped, can become, has to become, a human person. But, you know, if we are caught up by noise all our life long, we still believe that that invisible cell at the beginning is nothing. If we listen to the TV and to the BBC news, they just tell you that that invisible sign at the beginning is accidentally something with no value. So abortion is a right, because it is, you are stronger, isn't it? You are visible, you are powerful, you can make your voice heard, but that small cell is nothing. You have all the rights you want, but that invisible person at the very beginning has no rights. So if you keep busy all your life long listening only to these people speaking, you make up your mind and say, so abortion is fine. But you perhaps do not know the reality. You do not carefully contemplate the mystery of life. If you come to contemplate the mystery of life, you cannot accept what is the Vulgate of the world. You have to change your mind. That is a great mystery. That mystery is a mystery which is my life. But how can you be carefully investigating that mystery if you do not cherish this silence? How can you understand that that baby is a great mystery if you do not contemplate the beginning of life and the development of that life by being silent before the mystery? Yes? So in order to understand the mystery of life, the life is a mystery, we have to be silent. Silence, then, is the way to let the reality speak, and not to try to overcome always, to quit anything speaking by saying, no, this is the truth. Just to make an example, if you have always the TV on speaking, in the end you come to a point where you think, like the TV, your mind is the mind of the TV has brainwashed your life, and you think precisely as the people in that TV think. Yes? If you do not switch it off and say, no, now this is my turn, now I have to understand the things as they are, if you do not try to be silent and try to see the truth about life, you will never, never come to love human life and to respect human life and to defend human life and to promote human life. You see, silence is not the absence of something, but the presence of the mystery, the presence of the truth. There is another reason people do not like silence, especially people in our society. You know why? This is my idea. I think it is quite true. You know why people do not love silence? Because silence is telling only the truth. Yes? People are afraid to be silent because they are afraid to listen to their conscience. When I need to have a mobile phone always in my hand, this is the way to quench the desire of my conscience to spring up and to say, this is not your truth. You are something different. You are made to listen to God, to listen to the truth of yourself. So if I need something just to break this silence and to do something else, it is a way to reject truth. And you know, people nowadays say that, this is a philosophical standpoint, truth does not exist. No. No one has got any truth. Yes? But if we reject truth, what is the alternative?
Light.
What?
Light.
Lies.
Yeah. Yes. But they say, you know what they say? Truth does not exist. But love does exist. Love is great. Everything is love. Yes? I love my cup of tea. Great. This is love. I love my dog. Great love. I embrace my dog. My dog is sleeping with me. That's love. I fell in love with my dog. Wow. Everything is love. Yes? But love, for the people of our society, is a way to say truth is dividing us, because I have my truth, you have yours, but no one has the truth, because the truth does not exist. You can have an opinion, you can have your own opinion, you can have your own religion, yes, but it's something concerning yourself. But while truth does not exist, love is making us one. Yes, love can help us be one. This is a great problem. Because if truth does not exist, love is a lie. Yes? And in fact, we justify everything in the name of love. In the name of love, I can kill myself. Because I love so much myself that I can kill myself. When I'm tired to live, I can have euthanasia and kill myself. But I love myself. Is this not a contradiction? I love so much myself to the point of choosing to kill myself. I love so much my mother to the point of deciding to kill my mother when she is a burden, or when she has no meaning to live. This is the mentality of the world. Yes? You see, there is a love without a soul, a love without any meaning. Love does not mean anything. I love so much my wife, but I'm always unfaithful to her. But it is a way to love my, because even to betray my partner is love, because I am doing something out of love. You see, everything is love, love is nothing. But the problem is, if you scrap a little bit more this surface, yes, and go deeper into this water, you find a very dirty water. Why? Because normally these people who